Lucky, Bogaminda, Dorain, Sant Karim, Mecca, Rakana Rucker. Hello, Turden, we're Mudgir, Gwyn, Nerud, Molnir, Fenner, Lucky Lucky, Kibag, Mandel, Derin, Sert, Quinn, Mekin, Rakana Rucker. I rest my case. Done.
Well said.
How's that?
You just,
well said.
You just said the whole history of humankind. All
yes.
of a sudden.
That was a tower of
I was watching a video which was very interesting because there are some Asian women, I'm not sure where are they from, that they say they see a lot of phrases from myths from their countries. And they explain this, blah, 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 means the god went and did this and that. And so different people from different countries can understand phrases from their own myths. So I found that very interesting. Like, how did you do that? This has to be done by I am non-physical.
Okay, you got to get off the speakerphone and say all that again. I didn't get much of what you're saying. Miss T, did you get it first?
No, I missed some words as well.
Barum boom boom boom. There's no boom 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 in there.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
No, there
are
is
you
a
looking
video
at?
In the
no, no, wait a minute. Dad, let's have you do the first thunder, see how it comes out. Maybe you do better than me. But first of all, Bert, what did she just say about some women who did something?
She said somehow some ladies listened to and translated the... What I didn't get was that they were looking at the wake and they translated the thunders and they got something, some meaning out of it. Is that what you meant, Roxana?
Yes, they were saying there are different words and phrases in the wake that really mean things in their own languages. And
what did you say?
They
really
were
mean things? Wait, what's that sentence? They really mean things in their own languages? That's not what you're saying, is it?
Yes, that these phrases are really part of myths from their countries, like mythic gods, like this god
okay.
goes and do this.
So these women
saw... I found that very interesting.
These women saw their
that
own culture
like,
in Finnegan's Wake.
Yes, in different phrases or different words from many different myths. And they look like from Malaysia or something like that.
From where?
But, I found that
Seychelles. What's that Seychelles? What are you saying? From where?
Asia, like Malaysia
Asia.
Or something.
Okay. So you're saying,
yes, I'm not
who
sure
are these
from
people?
Which country?
How do you know about these women who looked at the wake? Where do they report?
It's a video. If you like, I can send it to you.
It's a video of women talking about Finnegan's Wake.
Yes. And how the wake is pretty multilingual. And they recognize phrases in which they say, this is about this myth from my country, from this god, and mm-hmm. this and that. So I find that very interesting, that it's really multilingual. How do you do that?
Well, I think he's got people looking there, looking for stuff. The user is the content. They're scrambling the letters and seeing something they're familiar with. And he knew that if you just... Well, he doesn't totally scramble his letters. Some parts he may, but it's a Rorschach ink block test. He knew that. He knew people would see things in there, I guess. You're asking, how did he do that? by not making it unilevel, by implying all kinds of syllable connections.
I pulled up, just for the thunder's sake, Ions gave us the first seven thunders. Would it be appropriate to add those to this thunder conversation?
What, the thunders as in the book of Revelation?
Well, the ones that Ion provided.
I don't know. Go ahead. whatever you want to say about it.
Well, I'll just read through. They gave us the first seven and then not the eighth, but Ion was reciting the Bible passage of Adam in the garden and said that was the first thunder. First thunder. They saw themselves naked. It's the thunder of alienation. And you respond, that's the meaning of the first thunder. In Finnegan's Wake, that's war and peace in the global village. The second thunder is Exodus 9:23, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward the heavens, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and a fire ran along up on the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. That's the thunder of judgment, the second thunder.
How do you know this? Who transcribed this?
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
The third thunder is the thunder of consecration. That's Exodus 19:16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. The fourth thunder, Carolyn asks, how does the third thunder relate to Finnegan's Wake? And Ion says, the fourth thunder is the thunder of coming. That's Exodus 19:19 and 20. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. That's the fourth thunder. The fifth thunder is the thunder of God's glory. That's Exodus 20:18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Sixth thunder is the thunder of enemies' defeat. This is 1 Samuel 7:10. And Ion says, this is great because this is where Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And Ion says, that's what Bob does when people get in his way. The seventh thunder...
What do I do?
You smote people when they get in your way.
Okay.
Reading that passage again, just the last section, the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And Ion says, that's what Bob does when people get in his way. The seventh thunder is the thunder of restoration. It's in 1 Samuel 12:14. Ion says it's one of our favorites because it has the if clause. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And Carolyn asks, so Samuel called it down, and Ion says, just like Bob. And now you ask, Bob, is there a thunder 8, 9, and 10 like in Finnegan's Wake? Ion says, you can't get those now because of 1 Samuel 12, 20-22. It tells why. It pleased him to sound the thunders to make you a people for him, and then you come into your place of power, and yea. 1 Samuel 12, 20-22, that Ion says is the reason why we can't get the eighth thunder, And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. So those are the seven, and then...
Right. So Roxy, can you relate this to Zappa at all? Or Bert?
Well, for me, his solos are like a thunder word.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this abstract discourse sounds like he's speaking. But he wants to say is more abstract than any language.
Can you get your phone on your head? It doesn't work with the speakerphone. I miss key syllables, so I don't know what you're saying. Did you get it, Bert?
Okay, Bert, I repeat.
Cut off? Okay, hold it. I think Bert's got disconnected. Let me bring him back in. Yeah, Bert, you got dropped off, right, Bert?
Yes, I did.
Okay, do it again, Roxy.
Yes, you asked me how do I relate this to Zappa, and I said, for me, the thunder words are like a Zappa solo. He has like a speaking style when he's playing, like he's talking with his guitar, but he's saying something very abstract. And it's like the nonsensical Irish songs.
Yeah.
That even if you don't understand the meaning of the words, you somehow get the meaning. And that is a phrase from Led Zeppelin in the Kashmir song. They say, they talk about this Irish type of singing, and they say, I don't get the meaning, but I don't understand, but I get the meaning. And
right.
For me, that's a Zappa solo. It's like a thunder word.
Well, I've said in one interview, I said the 10 thunders in Finney's Wake, imagine them as wailing guitars. You know, rapid guitar notes spilling out. So
yeah.
I've used that idea, that they are squealing amplified music or sound. So I was thinking, I think I should play, I think we've lost our way on the Zappa thing. Did you get to say what you wanted to say tonight, Roxy? Usually you have a little lecture. I don't know if you did a lecture. You did one sort of earlier. But did you say something? Did you get everything said?
I think the main idea is that how I think Joyce was an influence for Zappa, because he mentioned Joyce as an influence in his freakout list. So I said it's because of the musicality in the language, all his musical quotes and collages and...
Yeah.
And also the fact that they were both fighting for freedom of expression, and they didn't saw sex as something obscene or dirty.
Right.
It's just part of our human, of our humanity. It's not seen or something dirty, or I don't know. It doesn't have
right.
to be...
Now. I want to ask Bert. Bert, do you know, I was going to ask you on dupes, did I play two different sections of Ion in my private sessions last week, hours apart? Because Ed only put one part up. I thought I played other part. Do you know, Bert, if I played a whole bunch of stuff later? You remember two episodes?
Yes, you played.
I only remember that.
What are you saying, Bert?
Two different dates. It was two different dates, I believe.
Yeah,
it was 13th spread out.
And 15th. And I looked at it on the site. It's only 11 minutes total. I thought I played more than that. Didn't I play about Howard Stern? Didn't I talk about Howard Stern?
I remember hearing Howard Stern in Jonathan's interview. I don't remember hearing it afterwards. I remember hearing something about Howard Stern and Jonathan's, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Ion touches back on it saying, however Stern, uses the phrase, however Stern.
Right, no, that's not it. We talked about his wife is pissed off that he renewed his radio contract.
Right, and that was with Jonathan.
Oh, so that was Ion talking about Howard. That just makes... Oh, yeah. Is that... okay, let me just check my notes. So maybe...
I'm thinking Jonathan. For some reason that the Howard Stern conversation was casual on the call outside of Jonathan's session.
No, I have session, January 18th. But I didn't, he doesn't have January 18th. He's got January 13th and 15th. And I think he missed out on the Jonathan excerpts, which may have been played later that night. Because he's got January 13th and 15th, something like that, and then Jonathan's January 18th. So, somebody go through there and find it where it is later in the hours.
You started in the 5 a.m. hour, 45 minutes in.
Yeah, but didn't I play stuff before that, hours before?
Not from Jonathan's session, but let's see.
Jonathan is at 5 a.m.
Right.
Okay, so that's that. What we got to do now is I play the next batch of me and Ion, or we do the McLuhan do line. What do you think? Have we exhausted Frank? What haven't we said about Frank?
Note that
he was the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy.
That's the guy right there.
That's the guy.
Okay,
right,
Bert. What were you saying, Bert?
My impression of Frank can basically be sort of encapsulated in that black and white video of him as a kid playing the bicycle on, was it Johnny Carson?
Yes.
Or was it earlier? Yeah. I mean, just
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen, okay.
Steve Allen. Yeah.
Just his seriousness and the contradiction of just doing something as absurd as playing on the bicycle, that left an impact on me that probably is a greater impact than insight into his personality than his music has been. Although
yeah, Kyle says from Offenel, what a guy, what a guy. Mm-hmm. Offenel Hobart, what a guy.
Yeah, did Frank ever do a song with Offenel or Hobab in it? You have to look.
No. So Bert, did you see? When did you see that video? You talking about years ago when you saw it?
I probably saw that. Yeah, I would say around probably 2010 or 2011, and it was definitely. Well, I have to say probably after 2010 because I'm going to guess that it was prompted by something, your Holy Office is, I'm guessing that it was prompted by your discussion of your Holy Offices that made me sort of look more into Zappa, but at the same time I think that I have encountered his videos before that like his appearance on the Crossfire and other various interviews. But yeah, that I think that definitely left an impression, that Steve Allen appearance. You just have a serious, like you said, serious young man, and you know, with the culture, you know, surrounding him at that time, it was just a standout sort of appearance. I mean, he was making an impression in a very simple way that stood out for me. It wasn't comedic. It was like, it was, you know, a seriousness. He was doing something absurd. It was almost like a Steve Martin kind of a scenario. You have a guy in a suit tying animal balloons on his head, you know.
Right.
It's intriguing. So he's an intriguing personality.
Yeah, it struck you how serious he was, basically.
Right. He didn't crack a smile. He was showing you his you know, is it a Stradivarius? This is not a Schwinn.
Yeah, but he had that little gleam in his eye as well when he was doing that, that sarcastic look.
Oh, yeah, there was a self-awareness.
Yeah,
that was that his first attempt satire?
Maybe. I don't know what he did in the bar band where they would cover songs.
So what age was he
before this?
For that appearance and when he started playing with other musicians?
He was 22.
All right. Good number.
I think he also told Steve Allen he's only been playing it for a week. I think that was one of the first jokes. Because he asked, how long have you been playing? He said, oh, about a week.
About 2 weeks, I think he said. Yeah, like very short
weeks,
time
yeah.
of preparation. But there is a hymn working with an orchestra in 60-61 at St. Mary's College in L.A. That's pretty interesting. He's got the orchestra doing funny things, and he's making them laugh. But he's very seriously conducting them.